Two personalities debating today's biggest geek topics. This is Project Nerds Versus.
Hey, 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 pro nerds. Welcome to another episode of Versus, only on Project Nerd. I'm one of your hosts, Iggy, and as you can see, Tyler is not joining me today, but Q is sitting in. Q from Hi-Fi, Project Unreal, sometimes the Nerdcast Recast. I mean, you're kind of a jack of all podcast trades, huh?
For sure, for sure. Project Nerd adopted me. You guys are my parents now, and so you just, much like the family business, you're like you're gonna learn to work here somehow. So get on all of the shows. And I'm like, all right.
That's the thing. You've got to be able to cover any register or any station when somebody's gone. So you've got to be ready to do it all.
You gave me that option, or being a doctor. You're like, either be a doctor or join the podcast network on all the shows. And I was like, okay, podcast.
I'm pretty sure we threw lawyer in there too, but that's fine. That's all right. There you go. Awesome. So yes, Q, I'm excited to have you here too, because I think this show format, not only is it perfect for Tyler and myself, but I think you're the type of host that will do great here as well. And if this is your first time tuning into Versus, Versus is a loose name. We want to argue sometimes, and Tyler and I have a history of arguing, but obviously for some reason, as only it can work out, ever since we started this show, Tyler and I have actually agreed on a lot of the questions we've covered. So basically, we're just going to take turns answering or asking some questions on this week's and last week, I guess, is biggest pop culture happenings, kind of give our thoughts on it. Maybe we'll argue, maybe we'll agree. Either way, we hope you have a good time. So Q, you ready to do this?
I am ready. Let's do
this. All right. Well, let's head right into the questions. And we've got a lot going on, and especially a lot with trailers. If you've been over to projectnerd.com lately, you've probably seen it as we've dropped teasers for Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings. We've got the full trailer for Netflix and Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead. Hitman's Wife Bodyguard's teaser premiered, which looks fantastic as well. Adam Driver's got a new indie style film coming out. The Eat Wheaties film, which you guys just did the podcast with the production team on. Trailers. It's like movie season's back or something after over a year. But we've seen so many, Q. I just need to know what trailers got you the most excited.
Yeah, no problem. This was like a perfect question. I will say, hands down, the Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Like, I've been kind of lukewarm, and we've talked about it before on other shows, but like, I've been kind of lukewarm on Marvel trailers for a little while. Like, I saw the Black Widow trailer when it came out, and I was like, I don't know. I like Black Widow as a character, but the trailer, I had like Marvel cinematic trailer fatigue, if you will.
Right.
This trailer dropped, and I immediately got, the only thing I can equate it to is like Black Panther vibes, like Asian Black Panther vibes. Like, it felt like they were really embracing a culture and like going for it, as opposed to just kind of like, yeah, we have an Asian lead character and our story is vaguely Asian. They were like really deep diving into the culture. And I was like, that excites me because it feels different. Like, it doesn't feel like your cookie cutter kind of MCU film. There was a little bit of influences of like a little Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Right. Like, you had like, there was what was that, House of a Thousand Knives or something that came out a few years back. Like, there's, it felt like a cool, interesting kung fu film. So I would say that trailer definitely got me excited. But second up there, and we may talk about it more later in this episode, but Zack Snyder's, Army of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead. What is it? That trailer. Okay. So the first trailer, I was like, meh, it looks okay. The second trailer, I don't know if, Zack Snyder, hot off heels of re-editing, Justice League into a giant music video, he was like, all right, I've got some deep music cuts that I need to like drop into some trailers. But the music choice for this second trailer, with just like a Dave Bautista opener, was awesome. Like, I was in. I was watching, I was like, I want to see this. Yep, I'm in 1000%. I think those two trailers, I did see the trailer for Hitwife's Bodyguard.
Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. It's going to be a tongue twister for sure.
Man, that's an intense. They're just like, each time they're going to be like, the next movie is going to be like the Hitman's Wife's Best Friend's Dog's Bodyguard.
I heard it from over at 21 Flavors that Paris has got.
Yeah, it's going to be, it'll be interesting. But the film, I don't know. I like the first one okay. I love Ryan Reynolds, but I don't know. I'm trying to think if there was, oh, I did watch Adam Driver's musical trailer. I'm not 100% sure that I am on board with whatever is happening in that film. I know that the director, and I can't think of his name right now, but I know that the director is known for kind of like art house cinema. But this may even be a bridge too far for me, maybe. And lastly, of course, Eat Wheaties looks like an amazing film. And it's not just because I interviewed the filmmakers. It's because it looks hilarious. And I can't wait to watch it myself. And people should stay tuned to the Project Nerd Network because we may have a review for that movie dropping before the movie does.
Very soon.
Shameless plug.
There you go. I love shameless plugs, especially when they're for Project Nerd. I think you touched on some great things there, Q. I think there's some big things. The Adam Driver, I'm just a fan of him. I'm going to give him, to me, he's like John Hamm. John Hamm's been in a lot of just stuff, but because he's Don Draper initially and he's John Hamm, like I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt every time and see it. And same with Adam Driver. The Hitman's Bodyguard blew me away because I had zero expectations for it. What kind of idiot has zero expectations for a Samuel L. Jackson / Ryan Reynolds movie? This guy, apparently. But I was surprised. I'm super excited for this one, though, because Selma Hayek might actually have been the best part of the first one with her her Spanish rants and the way she was treating her, cellmate, were making her stand in the corner, like all the crap. So we get more of her this time, right? Really excited for that. But you're right. Shang-Chi, to me, you say Black Panther vibes. I'm thinking the Winter Soldier vibes. So the second Captain America, the reason I'm thinking vibes there is that's the farthest we've seen from the MCU. It's a spy thriller. It's not an action superhero movie, right? You're exactly right. Everything else you said about the trailer, I agree with, because it feels like it doesn't fit in the comic book genre, right? So that's why I was excited for it. But yes, you're right. Army of Dead, though, I think that's the one I'm going to put first because it's a heist movie in a zombie infested Las Vegas. Like it's Ocean's 11 meets Dawn of the Dead. And if there's no Dawn of the Dead remake with Zack Snyder, we don't have any of the other stuff, which is hit or miss, but we know he does zombies, right? So yes, give me that. And a freaking zombie tiger. And they embrace it too. They just embraced. They're like, we're going to go over the top and we're going to embrace it. So
it's like zombie tiger. Also, can I add to that?
Yeah.
Any movie that is going to recast Chris D'Elia with Tig Notaro after the movie is done, I'm just like, I gotta see this. Put Tig Notaro in everything. I love Tig.
Tig looks badass in it too. Looks yeah,
so badass. And I was yes, like, okay, I'm 1000% in on board for this.
So I think we're excited for all the trailers, but I'm gonna say Army of the Dead is my favorite. Shang-Chi is the second, you vice versa. But anyways, that's trailers. You can check them out over at Project Nerd if you haven't. Let's move along.
Cool. Let's do it. So for me, one of the big news that happened today, as a matter of fact, April 21st, Facebook hosted their very first Oculus gaming showcase. And if you haven't bought an Oculus, which I know I've harassed you about, you should. And that it's not just because I'm being bribed by Mark Zuckerberg to convince everyone to buy Oculus. Although everyone should buy Oculuses and create a Facebook account. Anyway.
Hashtag ad. Hashtag ad.
Seriously, though, VR is shaping up, I think, to be the next level in gameplay, really. I mean, you've got AAA titles like Assassin's Creed, even a resurrected version of Splinter Cell coming to VR. And they recently talked about it last week, the recently announced Resident Evil 4 kind of remaster for VR. Are you in yet, or you still think it's just a gimmick?
I think so. Here's the, it's going to be a weird answer. It's a hybrid answer. I think it's not going to be a gimmick, but we're still in that gimmicky phase. And it's because of people thinking it's a gimmick. It may make sense to some people. It may not to others. I think you're right. I think it is going to be the next big thing, but people still haven't embraced it enough. I can tell you one thing. So this is going to sound a little off topic, but trust me, it holds to this. I was just having this conversation yesterday with my son who, for those that know, he's a 16-year-old like media and tech nut as well. And my fiance, and we were talking about it. TVs hit it. They hit a point and there's nothing else you can do. You can't sell some new technology. So every TV from every manufacturer, you have your high one, your middle one, and your low one. And it's the equivalent of the other brand. So what do you do to differentiate yourself? You have to do something different. You have to think outside the box. And I think that's where we're at with video games. Yes, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X are here, but this is it. Like, what are you going to do past this? Like, you can't keep improving graphics. You can't, the shit already looks real. So how do you make it even better? And I think that you have to enhance something that was like VR. And you're right. I think you sold me though, when we were, what was that? Like 3 or 4 weeks ago when you were messaging me and you're like, oh, by the way, I'm messaging you in my Oculus. And I'm like, explain it to me. And it's like, you're giving me all this explanation that you're like in a Minority Report with the virtual key. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start putting back the cash right now. That alone sold me. But long story short, I think it's going to be there, but I think we're still a little bit of ways.
Yeah, I agree with you. My only kind of, and it's not even really a counterpoint, but I think that up until this point, I would have wholeheartedly agreed with you. But I think the Quest 2 coming in at a price point that's $399 makes VR affordable to most gamers. You know, people are plopping down $500 for a new PS5 or an Xbox. And so I think that's what is really like the catalyst for the kind of change in taking it seriously, is they've made like a quality piece of hardware for a price point that your everyday gamer can afford. It's no longer relegated to just like high end, you know, $2,000 PC owners to be able to play high quality VR games. And so I think that we're here. I just think we're like on the early adapters kind of phase, but I think like the technology is here and it's happening. We're in the throes of it. And I think that's what makes me so excited. It's like watching the birth of the PlayStation. I'm just like, this is going to be it. Like 5 years from now, we're all going to be like, what was gaming like when you still had to like do this?
Right. I know I'm breaking the rules a little bit, chiming in again on this one, but the reason it looked like I wasn't paying attention, because you said something that triggered me. Maybe this will help it. I went and looked and I just pulled up bestbuy.com real quick and was able to get to it. It's I could literally go pick it up at the store right now, and you can't do that with the PlayStation and the new Xbox, right? So I don't know. You might be onto something.
For sure. I think that even more so. Now, to be fair, I think we're both in the PS5 owners camp. I still play my Oculus like nonstop. Like,
right.
So I don't know what that says, but we'll see.
I'll have to check it out. I'll have to check it out for sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, I had a big question because I was thinking and I was trying to put it in place. I feel like Felicia Day was the last one we were calling the queen of the geeks or the queen of the nerds, right? Well, it just so happens, obviously, Daenerys, the queen of dragons, or Emilia Clarke, as most people know her, announced a new comic book project also today of recording, Wednesday, Mothers of Madness, which sounds fantastic, by the way. It just coincidentally was on the heels of her being announced to be in the new Disney Plus Marvel series, Secret Invasion, which, yes, please, want some Secret Invasion. She's not identified as what character it is yet, but it's a few years later than I expected, but here it's happening. One thing, the next thing, the next thing, Emilia Clarke. Is she the new queen of geeks, or is there another person who's fighting for that title? I don't know. Let me know what you think. Is this the stuff that's going to leverage her to being the person that all geeks aspire to be or be with?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think the answer is yes. I'm going to come in with a yes, and here's why. Because aside from all the stuff you just listed, we also got to remember, whether it was crappy or not, she was in Terminator Genesis. So she's already been in the Terminator franchise. It was the mother of dragons, Khaleesi on Game of Thrones, which is quite possibly, despite how people feel about the ending, was maybe the most impactful cultural phenomenon television show of the past decade.
Yeah.
So I think those two things already put, you know, a bunch of nerd cred to her. And so I think the addition to the MCU, as well as now she's going to be a comic book, you know, author, if you will, or creator, I think those two things definitely push her into like the queen of nerddom. Now, Felicia Day, I don't know that she'll ever lose that crown, though. That's the problem. Is like, she's like, she's operating on a different level, right? Like, she, aside from just being in a bunch of nerd properties, she herself is like an active, living, breathing nerd. Like, with she's Geek and Sundry, right? She
did Geek and Sundry, which sold to the same owner as Nerdist, so it's in the same level there. Yeah,
she created the Guild, which is like fantastic. Maybe one of the best like role playing send ups ever. She was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is like one of my favorite shows ever. So I don't know. Can there be, I'm going to put a highly hot button suggestion towards you, and we'll see how this feels. Right.
Okay.
Can I suggest Twin Crowns?
Twin Crowns.
Can we have two Queen of Nerds? Like, can we pledge fealty to two of badass women? I'm ready.
I think we need to pledge that to all the badass women, right? But I think it's a good point. You don't, maybe this is the type of thing where you don't lose your crown, but you're just somebody new is crowned. And I think you made some strong, valuable points. Felicia Day, and this is nothing against her. I'm totally in agreement with her. I've listened to her on a few podcasts recently and everything. She had the kid with her partner. She doesn't want the baby, you know, her personal life all in the mainstream. And as her popularity was growing, she made her own choice to step back and handle that. Sure. And so I think she kind of opened up a path for somebody else to take that crown to where Felicia Day could be running the world right now. No matter what we feel about Joss Whedon now or not, he said that line that she will run this world someday. And I still believe it. I think where Felicia Day owns the crown is the woman graduated college in her teens. After she went to the University of Texas on multiple scholarships, including violin, she graduated with a master's in theater by the time she was like 20, 21 years old. And she, like you said, created the Guild in her early 20s and went on to do a bunch of other things. She's a fantastic human being. And that's where I got the vibes here, though, with Emilia Clarke, because this is it. This is where Emilia Clarke recalls, quote, about 3 years ago, I was in a car with a bunch of friends and was like, hey guys, wouldn't it be real funny if, and then I woke up the next day and was like, that wouldn't be funny. That would be fucking cool. Why not? And then she wrote a comic book, dude. Like, she just wrote a comic book. That's the vibe, you know, all that stuff I was saying about Felicia Day, just going out there and doing all the stuff for, like, that's the vibe I'm picking up there. And you're right. I didn't even think about it. She's been in the Terminator franchise and everything. I will respect your wishes and say, we can have as many crowns out there as need to be fit, because we shouldn't be limiting these women that are trying to break through this glass ceiling, and we should praise them all. But I'm including, sounds like along with you, Emilia Clarke in the, we'll call it the royalty of nerds. Yeah, I don't know. I love Maybe that. That'll be the way.
Speaking of which, we would love, just putting it out there in case they're watching, I know that they're both avid fans of Project Nerd.
Yeah.
We would love to have both of you on to talk. Maybe even battle it out with each other. Like, I would love to hear them debate nerddom together.
They could have their own episode of Versus, right?
Please. You could have all of the episodes of Versus if you want to. Like, that would be awesome.
That's, we hand it all over to our new queens.
It's not my show to give, but I'd be like, it is yours, my liege.
I respect it. All right.
I love that. That was a great question. I really enjoyed that. That was really good. So a natural segue, right?
Natural, right?
Exactly. So natural. You know what's never talked about, unlike Emilia Clarke? Broadway. Broadway, I feel like, is never talked about. It's like the sad lost child of the pandemic.
That's the best way to put it.
New York, right, is like synonymous with a couple things. Pizza stealing rats. interesting governors. And...
interesting, and loosely defined there, right?
Exactly. Well, I left it open because, like, some are good depending on how you fall, some are bad depending on how you fall, and Broadway. Those three things are like in the mixing pot of New York. But I was thinking about it the other day. All theatrical productions in New York have been shuttered for over a year now.
Yeah.
Like, they've been done. And so it got me thinking, some of these theaters, I went to one just 2 years ago, right before the pandemic. I went to the Winter Garden Theater and saw Beetlejuice, the musical. And I will say that these theaters have been around forever, and I'm worried about them. As a lifelong theater fan, I'm worried about them staying afloat and about theatrical productions being something that people can believe in again.
Right.
So my question to you is, do you think that we've kind of seen the final curtain call, if you will, for some of these theaters and maybe even theatrical shows in that way? Or do you think that, no, they'll come back and they'll be just like it was before eventually?
Well, I think we've all come to the conclusion that nothing is coming back the way it was before, right? I think your question, your first part of the question is they're not all going to reopen. They're not going to be able to. You know, those theaters that are technically on Broadway that are just right off Broadway, right? Those ones are probably going to struggle a little bit. Some of those bigger theaters that have, I mean, you talk about the money that goes into entertainment, and it includes Broadway, especially on some of those shows. All you need is another Hamilton, right? In one of those theaters, and you're making that money again. I think one thing you might see in the little bit difference is theaters are going to, you know, theater play is going to come back. There's nothing, and I get it's not as wide as a movie audience, but here we are, two like hetero men that are gladly and proudly open about Broadway. It's a wide open thing. There's no stereotypes with it anymore. It's wonderful. I just rewatched for the fourth time, Oh, Hello on Broadway. It's fantastic, right? I think we're probably going to see more of the traveling show, which we were already starting to kind of see beforehand, to where it's traveling around and maybe less emphasis on it being in Broadway. But just go back to last summer. It was great to see Hamilton on Disney Plus, but that wasn't the same. That wasn't the same. And any true theater fan knows that and is still going to sit in a digital queue for 4 hours to see Hamilton with the secondary cast and pay, you know, go to Ticketmaster afterwards and pay $500 for secondary tickets, because that's what you do, because nobody has shut up about Hamilton for 5 years and whatever the next Lin-Manuel Miranda one is, because it's going to be his. It's going to be his. That's the next big hit. So I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place with my answer, but yes, no, a little bit of different. There you go.
Okay. I agree and also disagree and also understand most of what you're saying. So here's the deal for me. I sadly, as much as I am like a diehard theater fan, and specifically musicals are like my forte.
Oh, yes.
I will say that I fear that seeing a show in a packed theater live is something that we may not see again in that way. I think we can absolutely see live shows in a theater again. Do I ever think that they'll be in, you know, practically like when I saw the show there, I was practically like sitting on the person next to me's lap who I'd never met before. Because, you know, these are old theaters that are retrofitted to like house as many people as possible.
Sell those tickets.
I don't know if it'll come back like that. What I do think we will see more of, and if this idea hasn't been put out there, contact me, Broadway, because I'm happy to like sell you this idea. My theory is this. I think we will get hybrid shows. So I think we are going to get digital live streamed events with a live audience from some of these theaters. And I think that the theaters are going to do that as a way to sell tickets and basically double their capacity without having to have people there. You've already got lots of shows are doing it. There's a podcast that I listen to called How Did This Get Made? Very funny podcast about movies. They're doing live shows. Obviously, they haven't done live shows with people, but they're doing essentially what is like a Zoom call that you can buy tickets for. And it is live. And I think the safeguards and the infrastructure, and you know more about this kind of stuff than I do. You're in technology. I think the safeguards and the security are there so that it's not, you know, you don't have to worry as much about people pirating these live events. I think that they have things in play that can kind of keep that at bay. But I think you will see kind of these hybrid shows where they will sell you a tickets to this tonight's live performance, and you'll get exactly what you get in a live performance, which is maybe people will fall off stage. If you're seeing Spider-Man turn off the lights, maybe someone will break their ribs and leg. If you're seeing I think that is going to be the new thing moving forward. And if it's not, I'll be shocked. I will be shocked.
Okay. I can buy into that. If there were points awarded for these questions, I would give you points on this one. I would say you got that one. I think it's a good concept. It's possible. And even though it wasn't the same, I think how well Hamilton was received on Disney Plus could definitely lead to that. And again, that was pre-recorded. So
exactly. Exactly. I love it. I love it. This is fun. Let's keep going.
Let's go. All right.
Questions at me.
All right. Well, we haven't, and I didn't even upload the overlay. Oh my gosh, I'm so mad at myself right now. So we don't have the overlay for it. So
I'm out of here.
The biggest topic of the day. You know what? I have to upload it. It's all right. It'll take me 2 seconds. This is professional as can be. There we go. I'm not even editing it. We're leaving it all in, but we've got to talk Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because I feel like in our time, it's quick. It's only going to be 6 episodes. We're already to the finale. Tyler and I have only been able to cover it once. Well, the finale of the season. Warning, people. If you have not watched the first 5 episodes, Q and I have. So I recommend, don't tune out. Just turn it down for about 10 minutes. Or if you're watching, watch the video. If you're listening to us on the podcast feed, head on over to YouTube and wait till you see the overlay change. That's why I had to go get the overlay. Because we're definitely going to spoil the hell out of some things that are happening with Falcon and Winter Soldier. So let's do it. So much to unpack here. And again, we're rolling into the finale of the season. Strong first season. That's right. First season, because Disney submitted it for Emmy consideration as a drama, not a miniseries. We, like many others, may be looking too far into that. I don't know. We can talk about that as right now as well. But second, the very topic of race and social issues are all over this, which is super relevant right now and super needed. Third, we've had some huge surprises, some not so surprises, but comic storylines we wanted to see come to fruition. I don't even have a solid question for you, because there's just so much going on. But what are you hoping for? That's what we'll go. We'll go that way. What are we hoping to see this go? And along the way, as you're telling me that, share some of the things you're liking and what's happening, because I'm definitely going to.
Okay. So, yes, I am 100% on board with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I don't know, I liked WandaVision a lot. And I think it's hard to talk about this series without comparing it somewhat, even though they're like two totally different beasts,
right,
without comparing it to the only other like in MCU canon TV series that's ever existed. I liked WandaVision. It was a very unique show. I think it was quirky. I think it was weird and it was fun. But I can say, as a Marvel fan, I'm enjoying the Winter Soldier and Falcon more. Like, it feels like I'm watching little hour-long MCU movies every single episode. You know what I mean? There were so many things that I'm jazzed about on this show. First off, I am so in. And I can honestly say I didn't think it would ever be coming. I'm so excited to see John Walker on screen. I know people hate him, and that's fine, because that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
But I'm so pumped that they decided to bring that replacement Cap storyline to a series or a movie. I love that idea. I loved the idea that, you know, at the end of Avengers, when Cap hands off the shield to Sam, that he didn't just immediately be like, okay, I guess I'm Captain America now.
Right.
I'm glad that they're exploring like that conflict of like, what does it mean to take up the mantle of Captain America? Does America or the world need a Captain America? Like, what does it mean? And this is something that like blew my mind, that maybe as just like a bearded white dude, I am too privileged to have even thought about. But what does it mean for a black Captain America? What does that mean? Like, what does that look like for the black experience to take on that role? Does he get that level of respect? Does he, you know? And that question was answered with Isaiah, and that shit blew me away. Yeah. And when they, oh my God, I was like, I had like tears in my eyes, legitimately, not to like oversell it. When he's telling his backstory about what he's went through and how he like saved people, he had a story that mirrored Steve Rogers' story. But what happened to Steve Rogers? Steve Rogers was handed the keys to America and been like, you're our favorite golden boy. And what happened to Isaiah? He was locked up for 30 years and experimented on. Like, it it crushed me. It felt so real and earned, and that story felt real, and it tied into Sam's experience. One of the best like throwaway lines of that series is when Sam and Bucky are walking to Isaiah's house, and that kid's like, "Hey, Black Falcon," and he's right. like, "He's like, well, it's just Falcon," and he's like, "Nah, my dad says you're Black Falcon." And he's like, "Because I'm," it's like, "Is it because I'm black?" And he's like, "Yeah." It's like, okay, kid. Like that little like aside and that interaction just shows like the level that the writers are working on. Like they're showing that this isn't just the polished Marvel that we know, that there are economics and racial issues that are being dealt with, that I think it kind of is like in a way carrying the mantle from Black Panther a little bit. Like it feels yeah. like it's saying, hey, we can expand upon this too and talk about the Black experience in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I love the fact that it's dealing with Bucky's whole fallout from being a, you know, brainwashed hitman. I'm in love with this series, and I'll stop soon because I feel like I'm gushes about it. But two things that I have to say. One, the fact that Julia Louis-Dreyfus popped up in this TV series for me as, and I'm going to try and get it right here, as the Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Or you just call her by her other name. Just call her by her other name.
Val.
Or Madam Hydra.
Oh, yeah, well. She said Val in the show,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, they haven't said it in the show yet. They haven't said it in
but
the show.
But yes, Madam Hydra, and the fact that, and here it is. I know you didn't explicitly ask me, but I'm going to tell you what's in that box.
Right? I was going to ask you and I forgot, but yes, what's in the box?
What is in that box? What's in the box? What's in the box is a brand new hybrid Falcon and Captain America suit made by the Wakandans for Sam, because Bucky okay. knew that he should be the one wielding that shield, because he is the person who, that there's a reason that Steve gave that shield to Sam and not Bucky or anyone else for that matter. And I think we'll see it in this season finale 2 days from now, and I'm so freaking pumped to see it. That's what I think in the box.
I think what's in the, I'm going straight to what's in the box. I think you're a half right. I don't know. Okay. Maybe it does have a Falcon hybrid, but it's the Captain America suit. This is where Sam becomes the new Captain America. And it was hard because you're like, it could have gone very different ways. We do, you know, we have, like you said, the American Soldier, I think is what they actually refer to him as, is our Walker kind of turning the tide here. You have Sam become Captain America, and you have Bucky become Captain America, and you even have a woman become Captain America in Marvel, because that's what they do. But I'm going to go down. I'm going to back it up a ways, but first, okay. And I want to say the reason when Marvel was struggling and they were like on the verge of bankruptcy, they sold titles obviously to Fox and Sony. And up until recently, well, even Sony actually still, they're still dealing with some of that. The reason those titles sold first and Marvel didn't have them, it's because those titles did stuff that the Falcon and Winter Soldier are doing now. Fantastic Four, X-Men, and Spider-Man took on topics that we dealt with in the real life and turned it into a superhero thing. Listen, Captain America is my dude. He's my Marvel favorite, but he's a superhero. He's a full-on superhero. We don't understand what it's like. We don't understand what it's like to be perfect and then get the chance to be able to physically express that. The same we don't understand with a lot of the DC characters. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, by taking him out, by taking Rogers out and bringing it to, like you said, giving it to Sam, who doesn't have a metal arm, doesn't have anything. He's just a man. And then you tie in, like you said, the social issues of right now. That I'm totally with you. The Isaiah part, I shed a tear or two myself. Just in parallel of what they ran with what's going on in this world and what we've been waiting on for the past few weeks and dealing with, and to see that, to hear that conversation, and they put so much emotion into it. That actor did such a phenomenal job. Oh. Such a phenomenal job as that. And you're exactly right. You can sit here, if you are the type of people that believe that January 6th didn't happen and all these bullshit conspiracies, you're the type of person that thinks this is made up fiction, but the rest of us know this is real. What Isaiah went through is what really would have happened had this been the case. And his question of, no, the country's not going to hand the shield to a black man. Damn right they're not. And so now it sits on Sam's shoulders. Is he going to take it, or is he going to step back because of the trouble Isaiah went through? Is he going to continue to try to fight for progress, or is he going to heed his warning? And I think that's why it's so important that it at least is a hybrid suit in there, because he has to don that shield now, because he has to say, no, we want progress. We're fighting for this. Basically saying it, Black Lives Matters. And with all of that, you're exactly right. This made this one of the best things I've seen from the MCU so far. WandaVision, I was underwhelmed. Tyler and I argued with it. He enjoyed it like you did. I appreciated some of the things it did with the old school set designs and cameras and everything, but I was underwhelmed by it. I watched the first episode of this series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, underwhelmed. Second episode, more. Third episode. And now I'm just up to the point to where I am excited to see what's going to happen here in this last one. And I am ready, because all of those pieces that you brought up and the ones that I was talking on, I think are making this just making me excited for what Marvel is going to be able to do with Loki, with What If, with everything else in the future, because this has given me hope at the level of hope that I had when you saw Sam Jackson walk in post credits in Iron Man. You're like, we're building something huge here now. So I don't know. We both rambled. So don't feel too bad, because I went on for a while and I could continue to go on for a while, because this is huge. And like we said, it's taking on so many different things beyond just being a series. And we're right here at the finish line for this, hopefully, first season.
I love it. And so just to correct, so I obviously agree with you. We both love the show. We're both on board. The only thing I want to correct that I said was I said that I think it's a hybrid suit. Now, I want to define what I meant by that.
Okay, I'm listening.
I think it is going to be a Captain America suit that resembles the look of his current Falcon suit. I think the wings are gone. The wings are going to Torres, and Torres is going to be the new Falcon. I have no doubt about that. I just meant I think it's going to be a hybrid look of kind of his classic Falcon look, but with the kind of Captain America branding and Wakanda like shield technology advancement.
So we're on the same page with that. And I feel like in the comics, his suit is the furthest away from anybody else who dons the shield too. Like his suit has, I'm looking at the graphic we have on the screen right now, and his suit has that lot more like white shoulder kind of top look going. So I get what you're saying, and I'm with you on it. I think so.
The only thing I hope they do ditch is the goggles, man. I love the Falcon and I love Sam Wilson, but I hate those goggles. They look way too steampunk for me. I've hated them since the first time he got in that outfit. I was like, man, those goggles look stupid. Like, take those goggles off.
If he's not flying anymore, you might be right. So
I know. I hope he just gets like a half, like whatever Cap had, that like weird mask helmet thing. I'd be cool with that.
Definitely.
That's it. That's all I got. I'm sorry.
All right. All right.
So I guess that brings us to my question now.
Yeah.
So this one, Paramount, man. Paramount Plus, one of the streaming services that I can legitimately say wasn't necessarily on my radar. I was a CBS All Access subscriber prior to them switching over to Paramount Plus. And I watched like the Twilight Zone and the Star Trek series, like most people. And so when Paramount came on, I was like, oh, what are they going to do different? And they answered that question for me a couple weeks ago. They were like, hey, 30-year-old, mid-30s Q, you remember the 90s? Oh, you do? You were a big fan of that? Guess what? Here is the new home of streaming your child and teenage years. Like, and they dumped tons of Nickelodeon content, right? Like, I went through it the other day because I have a young son, and I was like trying to find shows. Like, I'm going to show you everything from my childhood when I was a kid. And so I'm looking, and they had shows like Salute Your Shorts, Hey Dude, Angry Beavers, Double Dare, even, and I don't know who else remembers this besides me, clearly somebody because they added it, but Nick Arcade was one of those shows. They went inside the video game at the end of that. So that blew my mind as a kid. But there were some shows that were missing, like some of my favorites. And those shows are like The Adventures of Pete and Pete, maybe one of, in my mind, the best Nickelodeon series ever. Roundhouse, which was like a pre all that sketch show, which was awesome. And the only thing I really, really remember from it was there was a dude that rode around in a motorized like recliner chair that had a TV on it. And
I remember that now. Yep.
As a kid was like, that is the antithesis of being an adult. One day I'm going to own that. So one day, PN audience, you'll see me rolling around in that chair and you'll be like, Quentin made it. Like, that's what he was working towards his whole life. So with that said, do you have any favorite shows that aren't streaming? Maybe not even on Paramount Plus, but anywhere. And what is your case for convincing the streaming gods as to why they should be streaming?
Oh man, that's hard. So the one show was there, but I've gotten it back twofold now. I think it's on Hulu and Amazon Prime, Scrubs, when it disappeared for a while from when Netflix dropped it. And I think Amazon had it originally and dropped it. Which I don't know why I was upset. I own every single episode on disc, right? Like, it's there. I'm kind of shocked with HBO Max, honestly, and maybe they've added it at this point, but back when they launched again and around the Wonder Woman time, they were missing a few of their, like, you know, their shows that I thought were great that didn't really get anywhere. I'm going to mention two of them. And again, I'll probably be completely wrong. They'll probably be there. But HBO, if you own it, just put it out there. Like, get all the animated DC stuff out there. You own it. Make people subscribe. But Bored to Death, Jason Schwartzman's Bored to Death, which was fantastic, lasted three seasons. And then we had two seasons of, is it How to Make It in America or Made in America?
Oh, Made in America.
Yeah, Made in America. Fantastic shows, like fantastic shows that were canceled because of the big price tags of some of the other shows. And they were seeing the success of their dramas again. Early Game of Thrones, I believe, was the right around then. And so they focused on that. My plea is if, even if I'm wrong on those specific ones, or even the plea you have for Paramount, if you own it, just put it on there. Like, why not? Like, right now you are in the middle of trying to take market share away from Netflix, and it's working. Their first quarter numbers were not what they saw in 2020. They've lost 30% of what they had. So I think they went down almost 7% of the total market share in North America. Netflix is doing phenomenal on getting worldwide content, which the other streamers are focused here. So it makes sense a little bit. But seriously, I'm all over HBO Max. If you tell me every one of those, like, I want to see those, you know, the cartoons where Batman and Superman crossed over for those hour specials on Saturday morning. That's the shit. That's the stuff I want to see on there. Right. But I think you're right. If you're going to drop all that Nickelodeon stuff, Paramount Plus, you're right. Pete, why is Pete and Pete not there? We need that one. I don't know. So you mentioned Pete and Pete and Roundhouse.
Yes.
I guess, why don't you expand on maybe other services or even more with Paramount?
Yeah, so I agree. I agree with what you said. And I think you hit the nail on the head. For me, it is simply the question of, if you own it, release it. Like, right. put it out there. Now, I understand you have shows like, what was that? The show with Kevin Arnold, Family. No, it was all about like a boy growing. It was the older brother of the guy from Boy Meets World. I can't think of his name. Anyway, they're doing a remake of that show. This is gonna drive me nuts.
We'll have to confirm it afterwards.
It was a boy growing up in like the 60s. And he had a friend, Winnie Cooper.
The Wonder Years?
Yes, thank you. The Wonder
Years. Okay, I thought you were thinking something.
No, go ahead. So I know for a fact that shows like that were tied up in streaming hell because they used a bunch of music from the time period that they just couldn't get the rights for. And a lot of people would argue, well, that show only worked on a lot of ways because of the music that it used.
That's,
and if you put in just like, you know, free use music, it's not going to work. It's not going to have the same effect. Same with shows like Muppet Babies. A lot of people don't know that, but Muppet Babies was one of my. I'm a big '90s nerd, man. I have a wall of VHS.
I know.
Of course, I'm gonna bring up Muppet Babies. Muppet Babies was one of those that I was super disappointed when Disney Plus launched, and they have, you know, a lot of the Muppet catalog. They didn't have Muppet Babies because I really wanted to watch that with my kid, but I did a little looking into it and. That show used to use like live action clips from movies in like they used to animate over it. And that put that show into streaming hell because of the legalities. They're like, we'd have to like cut out whole scenes because we don't have the streaming rights to a clip from a Buster Keaton movie from 1930. You know what I mean? Wow. Like, it was so stupid. So I get that for some shows, there are legitimate like legal reasons that, you know, contracts that were written 30 years ago didn't account for streaming. But for the most part, shows like, and I'm going to throw out another one for Paramount Plus, Eureka Castle, which they announced is coming to the platform, but for some reason has not come to the platform. Like, when they made a big like launch trailer and they're like, all your favorite Nickelodeon shows are streaming. Eureka's Castle, they showed a clip and were like, including Eureka's Castle. Every show is on there, but Eureka's Castle. And part of me is just like mind boggled. I'm like, Paramount, what, like, you even put it in your promotional material. How are you going to launch and not have that? So I agree with you, if only in the fact of if you own it and it's not tied up in legal hell. Own
all of it, right?
Yes.
If you own all of it. Yeah, I did. That's some pretty good information there. So the more you know type things. I didn't even think about that, of some of them being held up too. But all right. Great, great questions across the board. A lot of stuff to talk about. As always, if you have suggestions for us on what to cover, head on over to projectnerd.com or anywhere you get your Project Nerd podcasts or our social media pages. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can let us know what you want us to talk about, especially if it's relevant, because that's what we're talking about. But before we head out, we always like to do a little segment here at the end that I like to call Quick Hits. Like, we're trying to do the horn notes. So anyways, it is time for quick hits. So we're just going to run through. There's so much to talk about. So we're going to run through, try to be quick on these. Cool. I need to do it to where we got like a little music in the background, but then maybe we'll be stuck in streaming hell. I don't know. So anyways, I'll get us started. Godzilla versus Kong. Obviously, nobody shut up about it for the past 3 weeks. It's putting up great numbers. That's getting me excited about the summer. Is Mortal Kombat going to knock it off this weekend, or is Godzilla Kong? I didn't even finish. You got it.
Mortal Kombat is definitely going to perform a fatality.
Oh, God.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. I'll be here.
I am so ready.
Godzilla vs. Kong. I'm so pumped. I watched the HBO Max release the first 7 minutes, and it looked amazing. I watched it because I can't even wait. So
I'm as stoked for this as Army of the Dead. Just good, stupid fun.
Same. Same. I even go back and watch the old one sometimes, and that's a terrible movie. So this at least is going to be better than that.
All right.
So let's see. For me, we talked about it before. New trailer for Army of the Dead released, right? Zack Snyder is back in the zombie game. Were you a fan of his Dawn of the Dead? And is this a movie on your watch list? I already know the answer to the second part.
So. You already know the answer to the second part.
Tell me your thoughts on Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead, I didn't expect much of it, and I ended up catching it on like HBO or show. It was not on a cable channel one time, and I was like, oh, holy shit, this was actually really good, and it made me check into some more early Snyder stuff, so I don't know.
Nice. Same.
I think you were a fan of it too, sounds like, so.
Yeah, watched it. I mean, they had me at Zombie Baby.
There you go.
For those who haven't watched the movie, there's a zombie baby. You're welcome.
Well, baseball season's back. I actually just snuck off to a social distance game last night here in Denver. That was risky because it was 28 degrees out and it was miserable. But I know we're not a sports podcast. I'll leave that to the others. But it also means MLB's The Show is back. And this is the first time ever Sony's also releasing it on Xbox. I love that game. I freaking love it. Yeah. Even if it's just for the Home Run Derby. What do you think? Do you like that game, or do you like any of the other sports ones?
Two questions to follow that okay. up. One, okay. Yes, I do like MLB's The Show. I think it is a fun game. I've played it. I played an older version. I know that the new one is coming out. I saw a graphic trailer for it, and it looks amazing. It looks like you're just watching baseball.
Basically.
Which is awesome. But two, does Space Jam, the video game, count as a sports game? Because if
hell yeah,
if so, then yes, I love sports games.
That one and American Gladiators are back on the NES. Those count as sports games for sure.
Yes, the video game. If there's one thing I can ask from this new LeBron James Space Jam movie, it is give me a new Space Jam basketball video game on one of the new consoles that is equally as fun as the old one, and I'm sold.
I think that's a fair ask. Just so you know, I bought the game. I get it every year. Although this is the first time I paid full price for it because I got to see it in next gen. Sure. I'm raising it. On top of the fact, you get to build your own stadiums now. Like, I'm all in. What? Let's SimCity this shit up. All right.
That's really good. I like that. So speaking of next gen, with PS5 still a very rare commodity, and I might have spoiled it early, but it's not looking to get easier to get for the foreseeable future, unless you're maybe you or me who already has one. Do you have one? And I already know the answer to this. And is it worth the hype? Which is the real question that I want to know.
Well, first of all, I'm so glad you got one, because after I acquired a bunch for friends. So first of all, I've bought many, and fuck bots. I'm not doing that reselling game. Don't sit here and piss on our podcast for that. I'm giving them to friends at cost, because screw all that resale stuff. Absolutely love it.
PlayStation Robin Hood over here.
Absolutely love it. Alone, the game that comes on it, what's it called? The adventure, what's his name's adventure?
Oh, the bot, whatever.
Yeah.
That Astros, game. Astros Playroom.
Yeah, that game alone is worth the hype. But I can tell you what, I don't know. I spend a lot of time with my kids. We watch a lot of movies. Yeah. They're movie nuts. But we haven't done video game stuff together in a long time. We've been playing the hell out of Sackboy and having a blast. So it's also given us family time. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you got one. That sounds great.
Yes. Yes. All right. Two things I found out you can do with the PS5. One is you can play amazing video games with haptic feedback on the controllers, which is sick. And yeah. It was something that I didn't know that I wanted. And now I'm like, I don't ever want to play a game without that. But two, and this is just a little tech tip for everyone out there, including yourself, if interested, there is a app on Android app stores, and it's called PS Play. It's only like $5. And you put that, I have Google Chromecast throughout my house, right? Like mm-hmm. the new one with Android TV and the remote. My PS5 is hooked up in my theater in my basement, and I can play my PS5 with my DualSense controller Bluetooth to the Google Chromecast in my bedroom on the third floor of my house seamlessly.
It's awesome. And you can play it back on your PS4 too, the same way and everything like that. Yes. As well. So yeah,
sick. I was like, I'm in like video game heaven. So yep. That's right. My thought on it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, congrats. But we were getting nostalgia earlier. And so for another quick hit, I do want to get nostalgic. Michael Keaton has now this week 100% confirmed the rumors that he is returning as Batman in the Flash movie. Cut. How close are you excited for him to come back? But also, I love the Flashpoint paradox. Do we think we're getting a close? Is that what we're looking at here? Something in that realm?
I hope so. Listen, I love Burton's Batman, right? Keaton Batman was awesome for me. The fact that this dude is going to, after Birdman was the closest I ever thought I would get to ever seeing him in a superhero costume again, right?
Right.
And the fact, when it was even rumored, I was more than excited. Now that it's official, I'm pumped to see this movie. But I will say that if they go Flashpoint, if I don't get a murderous Thomas Wayne and an insane Martha Wayne, I'm 100% out.
Right. That's fair. That's fair.
I need those two things. That's where I fall on it.
I am. I'm totally in. I don't know. I'm going to concur. I'll leave it at that. Okay. And move on. Okay.
Doctor, I concur. Perfect. Speaking of things coming back around again, there's a new Face-Off film on its way, helmed by Adam Wingard, best known right now for Godzilla vs. Kong. 100% in or 100% out?
Listen, I want to be 100% in, but I can't even, the face, you all know the face that Nick Cage does in that movie. Like, I can't even do it. You can't get to that level of insanity that Nick Cage and to a lesser extent, John Travolta brought to that movie. Unless you bring back Cage and Travolta, then I'm 100% in. I don't know. What about you?
Listen, if Travolta and Cage are back, I'll tell you right now, that is one peach that I could eat for hours.
All right, there we are. All right, well, that's it. We're going to end quick hits on that note. As always, thank you, Q. Some great questions and topics today. So much happening in the geek world again. I'm so excited to be a part of it. Also, too, though, before we do move on with closing remarks, and I know we're definitely an entertainment venue, But as I've said many a times over, especially over in Diving Deep, there are no lanes when you're talking about humanity. So I do want to point out that the verdict this week was very important. And Project Nerd obviously believes Black Lives Matter. We are in full support of people having their voice heard and everybody being treated equally. And I want it said across our podcast. I want it said on our site. I want people to know it, from the police officers we have working with us to the whatever other jobs we have, because we all have day jobs. We all believe this and we all stand behind it. So if you disagree with us, I don't care. I just want everybody else to know that we are in support of it. And we are thankful for the verdict that came down this week. So, Thank you. So I don't want to get too somber and get stuck up on it. So we will wrap. We are at an hour here. We did take some time out of our day. That's all right.
Only because it's the best episode, everybody. You're welcome.
It was a solid episode. Tyler might fight you on it being the best episode. I don't know.
Good. Like, maybe I'll have to do an episode against Tyler. That's what I was going to say.
You're going to have to do that. But as always, Versus is available on ProjectNerd.com, Project Nerd's YouTube, and wherever you get Project Nerd podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google. Search Project Nerd podcast on those platforms, and you'll find this along with I'm Not Famous, Project Unreal, The News Break. What else do we got going on that main
feed? Nerdcast Unreal.
Yeah, you got Search High Five for High Five, though. So High Five.
Forget that. Project Unreal, Nerdcast Recast.
We have a solution for it. It's in reverse. Okay, right down there at the bottom. ProjectNerd.com/podcast. That's right. Project-Nerd.com/podcasts. And you can find all of our podcasts in one glorious place. And a soon-to-be-redesigned place. So we hope you head on over there and find it. Well, Q, that's it for Versus. It was a pleasure. It was a challenge. And, I want to talk about more of this stuff going, but we'll have to do it off the air because that's it for this episode.